You are listening to a free podcast of The Majority Report with Sam Cedar. To support the show and receive nearly an hour extra material daily, become a member today at majority.fm. Resistance is futile.
The Majority Report with Sam Cedar.
The destiny of America is always safer in the hands of the people than in the conference rooms of any elite.
Sam Cedar.
They are unanimous in their hate for me, and I welcome their hatred.
We must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
The Majority Report with Sam Cedar.
And I get the feeling you've been cheated.
It is Wednesday, November 6, 2013. My name is Sam Cedar. This is the award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live in the literal, though not metaphorical, shadow of the New York Times building in the fashionable Dollar Lunch District of New York City. Today on the program, Adele Stan on the anatomy of the war on women, how the Koch brothers, those libertarians who just all they care about is getting your government out of your business, are funding the anti-choice agenda. What? Also on the program today, liberal senators coming out hard in favor of increasing Social Security payments. Obviously, results from last night's elections across the country. And Rand Paul's plagiarism grows. Still, what nobody's talking about is why, what it was that he was plagiarizing and why that's important. Also on the program today, surprise, surprise, what nobody's talking about in terms of education reform is resources, and that's the most important question when it comes to education. All that and more on today's program. Folks, just a reminder, podcastawards.com, you can vote for the Majority Report every day. In fact, we need you to. Head over to podcastawards.com, vote for the Majority Report under People's Choice and Best News in Politics. You got to put your email in at the bottom of the page. You want to create a fake email account, go to town. It doesn't matter. They just want to make sure that there's a real person on the other end. Put your email in there and then check your email box so that you could just hit the button, verify. The whole operation takes you about 90 seconds in total. And you can do it every day. And we ask that you do. We only have basically one more week for this. And we're certainly facing some stiff competition on that end. So in New York City last night, Bill de Blasio, 73%. Lahoda, 24%. So he, let's see, 73, 24. Joe Lahoda lost big time. So now the question remains, with that kind of a mandate, what will Bill de Blasio do? Will it be the guy who is the huge Sandinista supporter or somebody else show up? Be prepared to be disappointed, but hope for the best, right? What is it? Pessimistic in...
Pessimism of the intellect, optimist of the will.
There you go.
Push for the best.
Push for the best.
There's opportunity here.
Chris Christie won by 20-odd points over Barbara Buono, and he starts his presidential campaign today. New Jersey voters, good for them, approved increasing the minimum wage to 8.25 and amends the state constitution to tie future increases to inflation. Terry McAuliffe, the I don't know, the poster board boy for corporatist Dems, beat Ken Cuccinelli, the poster boy for retrograde, sexually obsessed Republicans, I guess. 48 to 45.5. In the Virginia Attorney General's race, State Senator Mark Obershane has, like, literally hundreds of votes lead over the Democratic State Senator Mark Herring. There will be a recount there. The only upside to McAuliffe is it may make getting the Medicaid expansion more likely in Virginia, but not definite. In Colorado, voters approved a tax on marijuana, but rejected a $1 billion income tax increase for a state that is hurting in terms of its funding for education. Good luck, Colorado, with crappy schools. In Maine, Portland city voters have legalized marijuana. The state still the state law is still that marijuana is illegal, but that should have an impact on that in terms of the politics that are up there. And in Washington state, voters reject the GMO labeling by a margin of 55% to 45%. One wonders if the millions upon millions of dollars of out-of-state money had an influence there. I mean, God forbid. I just know that you could ask any voter out there, and the idea of having to have one more label to tell them what's in their food, oh, just drives people crazy.
Oh, no, it was prices will go up. That was the spin.
Of course, because of all the ink that would be expended on the extra warning on the carton. Just a joke. All right, folks, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll be talking to Adele Stan. We are back. Sam Seder on the Majority Report. It's a pleasure to welcome to the program Adele Stan, writing for RH Reality Check on the anatomy of the war on women. Adele, welcome to the program.
Thanks so much for having me, Sam.
Now, this, you know, we have this perception, or I don't know that we have this perception, but we certainly have been sold time and time again about the in different derivations on this theme, that the Tea Party is something that's distinct from the Republican Party, that they're at odds with each other, that the Tea Party is about libertarianism, it's about free markets. You did a piece that is incredibly comprehensive, that really puts the final nail in the coffin of that narrative.
Well, one can only hope, Sam, right?
Right.
Yes, we have been sold this bill of goods, especially as regards the Koch brothers, and their investment in the Tea Party movement, that somehow their interest is solely about business and deregulation and the like, right? That's all they care about. They don't really care so much about the quote-unquote social issues. But what I found by going through the tax filings of some anti-choice organizations, by going to the tax filings of a Koch-linked organization called the Center to Protect Patients' Rights, and by looking at the reporting of some other great outlets who did some fabulous reporting, including Mother Jones and the LA Times and Politico, I was able to look at the funding trail as much as we can find out about it, right, from the Koch brothers and their network, but to view it through the lens of anti-choice activity, because we saw this really combustible frenzy, right, happen in the states at the state level, particularly as legislative sessions drew to a close this summer. And what I found was that through these layers of groups that are not required to reveal their donors, but we know to be linked to the Koch brothers, that there was an enormous flow of money going to very hardcore anti-choice, anti-LGBT groups such as the Concerned Women for America Legislative Action Fund and Americans United for Life Action and the Susan B. Anthony list, the ironically named Susan B. Right. Anthony list. So that is what we have come up with so far, and it does really give lie to this notion that somehow it's just all about business. What I like to say is the Kochs, sure, they're all about business. They're also about your personal business, you know. And I don't even know how much they personally care about these issues.
Right.
You know, they're
that's basically it, right? I mean, this is the overall meta narrative of the Republican Party, and it's just now what we're just seeing is sort of almost like a subset, which is a perfect microcosm for the Republican Party as it's always been, which is we are going to our primary agenda is to structure the government in such a way that it is taxing us as little as possible, subsidizing us in terms of corporate America, and socializing the costs of corporate America's profit making. And what we're going to do is we're going to create an electoral base that is fundamentally based on, well, on fundamentalism, on religious fundamentalism. I mean, this is the same dynamic, right? It's just happening in a sort of the more rabid quadrant of the Republican Party.
Right. This is exactly right. I mean, this is the Ayn Rand philosophy, you know, set to life. Basically, throw anybody under the bus who gets out of your way of getting yours or what you perceive to be yours, right? So, I mean, we already know that in the quest for shrinking government and all of that, they're willing to, you know, take money, take food out of the mouths of hungry children. We know that, you know, vis-a-vis the cutting back of food stamp benefits and the like. We know they don't care about the 40,000 Americans a year who died from, at least, from lack of health care. We know that, right? And that's all the interest of quote-unquote shrinking government. But in order to maintain their power or to accrue more power, it's really important that they stoke up the resentment of fearful people to be their foot soldiers. And how do you do that? You go after anybody who is quote-unquote other, anybody who seeks change in the structure of rights and equality. And so, you know, I believe the anti-choice activity, the money that the $8 million that the Koch's quote-unquote secret bank, as named by Politico, gave to the Concerned Women for America Legislative Action, the $1.5 million they gave that the Center to Protect Patients' Rights gave to the Susan B. Anthony list, you know, all this dough is really, you know, in the service of keeping in place in state legislatures and in the U.S. Congress, people who will vote their way. And the anti-choice bone is one that needs to be thrown, even if it isn't good for the party on a national level, in order to maintain the, you know, the power that they want at the micro level. They have to, you know, allow those folks to go for their pound of flesh.
And this is also true, you know, from electoral standpoint. You know, the big story right now, in terms of Republican presidential hopefuls, I mean, aside obviously from, you know, the election results yesterday, is Rand Paul's plagiarism. And the thing that I think people miss about that story is that he has these libertarian bona fides, which ostensibly have, at least historically, said, okay, we don't mess with your sovereignty as a woman. We don't care about drugs. We don't care about these conservative social issues. We're not all in that. But he knows he has to care, or at least pretend to care, to get the votes of the base of the Republican Party, because even the Tea Party is 50% fundamentalist.
That's right.
And so he's got to get to abortion is wrong through this bizarre Gallica scenario where this is going to create eugenics. Where the idea of forcing, of taking away women's sovereignty is actually a means in which to prevent the government from tyrannically planning the genetics of individuals. I mean, that's how twisted they have to become to make this sales pitch. Now, of course, if you're the Koch brothers, the way you do it is you just hide the money trail and you just give them cash.
Right. And Citizens United, you know, really, really, I mean, you know, three dynamic forces really came together to create the scenario we've got now, which is Citizens United, which allowed these so-called social welfare groups to spend wildly and freely in elections while hiding their donor base. And then you had 2010 backlash to the election of Barack Obama, and that backlash was all fomented on the basis of resentment, racial resentment, social resentment. And then you had the 2010 census year, meaning redistricting. So all of the Republicans riding the winds of that backlash election got to redistrict a whole lot, and then they pour all this money in, and you have what we see, which is really a kind of a minority position having control of the country right now. And but the back to your philosophical twistedness narrative is so true. I mean, I bristle anytime anybody calls Rand Paul a libertarian. You know, he's just not. He's just totally not. I call him a neo-libertarian or a theo-libertarian.
Right.
I mean, he's just not. And you also see it on the other side, Sam, on the, well, in their allies on the religious right and the overlap with the religious right, as you rightly noted, the theologizing of these quote-unquote free enterprise ideas into the evangelical theology, which is really fascinating, actually.
Yeah, I mean, and this is basically, I mean, this seems to be the sort of the game plan. It's the, you must encompass in the self-identification. I mean, we talk about identity politics. The long-term project of the right has been to create an identity that captures, I mean, that's the way that they're creating their big tent, but you need to tick off every single one of those identities.
That's right.
So being anti-abortion, it goes hand in hand with, of course, being, you know, anti-deficit on some level, where they had the same cultural resonance, where being pro-gun or anti-gun safety has the same resonance as being anti-marriage equality. They all are these checklists that create this sort of identity with the same sort of fundamentalist fervor that underpins all of those beliefs.
That's right. And then you brand it, right, with the American flag overlaid with a cross. and you've already got a homogenous base of almost 100% white people. And you do, and that's what you do. You create this ideology that may be incoherent, but that everybody who is afraid of change in our social structure and afraid of demographic change and all of those things can kind of gather under that umbrella and find plenty of things to, you know, plenty of fear-based narratives to fuel these assaults on the rights of Americans.
You know, what's interesting to me is I just interviewed Isaac William Martin, who's written this book, Rich People's Movements, which basically takes a sociological look at the various anti-tax movements that have run through the past century. It's interesting stuff. We haven't played it yet. But one of the things, you know, he talks about the Tea Party movement, the sort of the straw that broke the camel's back, or the real thing that unleashed the Tea Party movement, was its anti-Obamacare hysteria.
That's right.
And it's interesting to me that the money that you have traced enters into organizations that ostensibly are arguing against parts of Obamacare, but are
right.
Sort of, it's doing double service. Just talk a little bit about that.
Well, you know, this organization, this very kind of murky organization called the Center to Protect Patients' Rights, that was an organization that was ostensibly founded to oppose Obamacare, and indeed it did, you know, and it was founded concurrent with that that fomented uprising, if you will, in 2009 and 2010. So it's got that imprimatur, right? That's its name. It's run by a Coke operative named Sean Noble, whom I first ran across at a conference sponsored by David Koch's Americans for Prosperity Foundation in Washington, D.C. in 2010, where they were already having breakout sessions on how to repeal Obamacare. And Sean Noble was actually running a breakout session on opposing Democratic candidates in the coming November election. So Sean Noble runs this thing. But it turns out to really just be what you call a pass-through organization, right? And it's getting a lot of its money after 2011. It's getting a lot of its money from another pass-through organization called Freedom Partners. So Freedom Partners gives $115 million to the Center to Protect Patients' Rights to then dispense to other groups. And among those groups are the ones that I noted that are, you know, notably anti-choice. What you also see is in those anti-choice groups, concerted efforts to oppose Obamacare, ostensibly for reasons, trumped up reasons, false narratives having to do with abortion, and then, of course, the whole consternation over, God forbid, we should have, you know, coverage for prescription contraception. But, you know, so you have it going two ways. So by giving those anti-choice groups, which have a long-standing infrastructure, you know, this is really a brilliant joining of an existing infrastructure. Groups like the Concerned Women for America exist for, what, 30 years now, since the beginning of the religious right. And with this overlay of a new infrastructure created by the Koch brothers and their network that dispenses the money. So you have it going, you know, when you talk about the long-term project of the right, oh, Sam, you are just so very right. I mean, they've been going at this a long, long time.
Is there, I mean, the, and what I love, one of my favorite lines of your story was just when you were talking about the Center to Protect Patient Rights, which now seems to be gone.
Yeah. I went to follow up, you know, just to confirm some stuff on opensecrets.org, which is a great resource for reporters and anybody who wants to know about money and politics. And lo and behold, a note came up saying, well, the website says that they have concluded their work. And then when I went to the Center to Protect Patient Rights website, it was gone. The website is gone. So,
it's like one of those Halloween pop-up shops.
Yeah, totally. I mean, it existed for, 3 years in order to dispense, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars. And now it's gone.
You know, have you done any, I'm curious, one of the things, you know, getting back to just that interview with Martin was that the one thing that, though there is a history, I think Weigel had a short piece about this as well, of the anti-tax movement, you know, cropping up from time to time as rich people are concerned that their taxes may go up. The real fundamental difference between this era and those in the past is really the tremendous amount of infrastructure that is being created by all this money that's going in. And I wonder if in the course of your reporting, because I know that you report a lot on this sort of murky, sort of financial infrastructure, this sort of huge Amway system that seems to have been created. what is it when the funding?
And you know the DeVos's of Amway are very involved in the Koch network.
Yes, well, I don't doubt that some of the practices are there, but I mean, I have this sort of theory that we are beyond this that we're beyond this infrastructure being driven by some type of ideological agenda. And it's more now just you've got so many people making money off of this that the idea that they're pursuing policies which will regionalize and sort of create a permanent minority status for the Republican Party is irrelevant because, frankly, just too many people are just making money off it isn't their job, you know? I mean, it's not too hard to rationalize it. I'm not saying that they're not true believers, but that, like, we're doing God's work and I'm getting compensated well for it. I wonder if there is a story there of, like, you know, Concern for Women for America. They've been around for 30 years, but now all of a sudden they're getting a huge percentage of their funding via the Koch brothers. Has this changed what's going on in terms of the dynamics that within these groups? I mean, do you have a sense of that?
You know, I hadn't thought of it in those terms, but you are so right. I mean, these people are very handsomely compensated. And you look at a guy like Sean Noble, who, you know, was collecting a sum for running the Center to Protect Patient Rights, but he's also got his own consulting firm that was being engaged by all of these different entities. And there are a ton of people making a lot of money on this. I mean, I did a piece last year, I believe it was, for Alternet, perhaps it was the year before, where we showed that Ralph Reed's consulting firm appeared to be getting money from an effort by his nonprofit organization, the Faith and Freedom Coalition, and they're also tied in with the Koch network. You have just you're right, a whole layer of handsomely compensated consultants involved in this thing, whose interest it is to keep it going. And at the same time, whatever damage they can do to government is seen as a big plus for their overlords, the Kochs and their allies, right? Because their deal is to basically, you know, make government so broken that even if there are regulations, they're unenforceable because there's not the capacity to enforce it, right? So that's really what they're doing. And at the same time, they want to deplete the ranks of organized Democratic voters in the federal workforce.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the bottom line is they provide sort of some type of ballast to pull the national conversation to the right. I mean, we can talk about
it's an enormous noise machine, isn't it?
Yeah, but you know, we hear the stories of we hear the stories of that, you know, the Democrats won the showdown, but the debt ceiling showdown, the budget showdown. But the reality is we're still operating on a budget that's far closer to what Paul Ryan's proposal was than even a fairly conservative proposal from the Senate.
That's right. And it's going to get worse come January when the next round of sequester cuts goes into effect. And the Democrats have not been proposing, you know, to roll that back.
No. And I mean, you know, because I'm fascinated by this question because, you know, we for a while, particularly in the early stages of the Obama administration, we heard a lot on the left of the concept of a veal pen where you had inside the beltway sort of left leaning or progressive center left think tanks and advocacy groups that were afraid of trading their access for real confrontation with the administration.
Right.
Now, leaving aside the specifics of that, but that dynamic, in other words, that these people are there, they're willing to sell off part of what their broader agenda is because it provides them jobs. I keep getting back to this that I think is just like the story that seems to be completely missed. And your reporting, you know, in my mind, at least sort of edifies this idea that there's so much money, you know, because even when we talk about Noble or Reed, there's still hundreds of people who are getting paid by them. Thousands of people. This money is just being distributed out, and it's just essentially created this massive industry. And, you know, I see the Tea Party fight against the establishment Republican fight to the extent that it's there is just basically two big businesses in the same industry. And, you know, whether it's iOS versus Windows, at the end of the day, what they're really concerned with is just making sure that people are using computers.
There's a lot to that, although there's an interesting piece of the Tea Party versus establishment fight in the analogy, I think, between the Kochs really represent private capital that is not publicly traded, and their network does as well, and nobody really looks at that. So there's, you know, it's sort of, in some ways, it's like private capitalists versus, faceless corporations that are publicly traded. I mean, they have their own internecine battle, sure, but it all ends up with pretty much the same result for the rest of the country now,
right?
Doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. This is sort of like it reminds me of the swipe fees battle on some level.
Oh, that's a good, yes, that's a very good analogy. I hadn't thought of that. But yeah, and you know, and Democrats have just traditionally been way too weak and way too reactive, and you know, some of it has to do with just culturally how the two sides express themselves, you know. Liberals traditionally love facts and think they can win on facts. And they love their Venn diagrams and their graphs and their charts. And when they're selling healthcare, they're going to tell you, you know, about how much you're going to save and how many uninsured are going to be insured and all of that. And the Republicans and the right wing will come out with, you know, a cartoon of grandma sitting before a tribunal with the Grim Reaper at the center and scream death panels. And you know, you're not going to counter that with a bar graph.
Right. Well, Adele Stan, the piece is in RH Reality Check. We will link to it. I mean, I think this is. Let me ask you this: when you write this piece, like, who do you hope really, reads it and internalizes what the, I guess, the moral of this story is?
That's a great question, but I would really hope that progressive donors will once again take a look at the infrastructure that the other side is building and ask themselves, you know, we can't do a parallel infrastructure because we have a different culture and we represent a very heterogeneous group of people on the left. But you know, you have to look at the dynamics here and look at how strategically, you know, you're going to confront these dynamics. It's not simply about, you know, winning hearts and minds. There's a real strategy that needs to be confronted. The other part of it is I really hope that everyday people will read this and start demanding that something be done. You know, demanding, you know, we have outrage fatigue often in progressive circles because we fight so hard against so much only to see it come to pass anyway. So we really can't afford despair. We really need to fight.
I mean, I have some
who do you want to see read this?
Well, I mean, frankly, I think, you know, it would be nice if the Chuck Todds and the and just sort of the conventional wisdom, who it's hard to know what these people believe, but they should understand the idea of what really the dynamics are here, that the idea that the Tea Party is some type of movement that is driven by some sense of fiscal responsibility is just silly. You take this money away, and this is just a group of people who we don't hear about for the past 4 years.
About pillage. It's not about
right.
It's not anything about fiscal responsibility.
Right, right, right. Of course. I mean, this is just simply another way of saying the moral majority or some other base of the Republican Party that is brought out. Is ginned up for electoral purposes. I don't think we're going to see that same infrastructure on the left. Not just because of the cultural differences, but fundamentally. You can create these monsters on the right in terms of being anti-choice, anti-gay, even to a certain extent, although I think it's far more dangerous to be anti-immigrant for the establishment's, for the Republican establishment's agenda. But all of these other social issues, anti-gun safety, they come at really very little cost to the establishment, if any. To the money that is flowing through them. There is, hopefully, a legitimate fear by wealthy left-leaning donors that you create a populist movement and they're going to come for some of our resources. And, I mean, I sort of think that's the way it should be. I'm not saying there aren't exceptions to that, but I think at the end of the day, the left, the money donors on the left are far more worried about the populism that could grow up on the left than the money donors on the right are afraid of the populism on the right.
Oh, that's very interesting. I haven't done the exploration that would be, you know, necessary to know that for sure.
I don't want to scare off any potential funders.
It's certainly plausible, you know.
Yes, we will see. But I hope your piece gets widely read, and I appreciate you coming on and talking about it.
Well, I'm very grateful to you for having me, Sam. Always good to talk to you.
Okay, Adele Stan, folks, and we'll put a link to RH Reality Check on the blog. Appreciate talking to you today. All right, folks, we've got to take a break and head into the more fun half of the show. That's right, folks. It gets even funner. There is a breaking story. Is this on Al Jazeera or Al Jazeera?
Al Jazeera Report.
Hold on. Put your mic up. Al Jazeera is reporting that a team of Swiss scientists has found moderate evidence. Wow, this is really barely a story. That Palestinian leader Yasser Arafat was poisoned.
Well,
the results moderately support the proposition that the death was the consequence of poisoning with polonium 210.
It was a follow-up story, though.
Follow-up story?
This was first broken about a year ago. so this just kind of adds to a drumbeat of evidence. It does have some relevance.
Yeah, I know. I wonder, well, what does that mean, moderately support?
Well, that means it's a scientific team, and they're being very cautious in their assessments.
Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah. This is a great way to lead into the fun half of the program.
Yes.
Well, what does scientific methodology mean?
Yes, when we come back, we're going to be talking about what does moderate mean in the context of a scientific report on poisoning. Also, in the more fun part of the program, I will get to that Josh Idleton story about unions, or at least I will claim to. And we will dig in a little bit more into the Rand Paul plagiarism story. I really do think, I mean, it is obviously now becoming something that's creating, it's forcing him to self-implode in some ways, which is sort of a...
He's getting real emo about it, if I could use a phrase.
Super emo. Like, this guy... Man,
he lost his Washington Times columnist gig.
Yeah, something interesting is happening here, and I'm not quite sure. I think there's something else going on here, and you know, maybe it's my own bias, but I have a feeling Daddy got pissed at him.
You think this is a hit job?
No, I don't think it's a hit job. I think this sounds to me like the way that Rand Paul is reacting to this. Sounds to me like there's a little bit of Daddy dynamic going on here, where Daddy called him up and said, it's one thing to pretend like you didn't write racist things in an email, but it's another to plagiarize.
You've hurt that writer's freedoms.
There, I don't know.
We'll talk
about this. But again, I'm still going to make the argument that the biggest part of this story has been missed by everybody is how Rand Paul has to twist himself into appealing to the Christian fundamentalist, because you got Ted Cruz, who is a true on, full on reborn. So,
especially with his pops out there going baloney.
And we will talk to,
the communist.
Look at take away the God.
Look at the Rand Paul. He's a plagiarist.
It is a plagiarizing like a Marxist said to do.
When a man who say he libertarian plagiarized, that is a signal Castro he used. He's a Marxist.
Hello, Rand Paul. I want to show you my little friend. It's called Google. All right. We got some sound from Frank Gaffney, but we're not in the better half, the funner half.
But now we're teasing it properly.
All right, folks, go to podcastaward.com right now. Vote for Majority Report for People's Choice and Best News in Politics. Then fill in your email address. Then go to your email address, click on the confirm, and you're done for the day. Do it tomorrow. Set your alarm clocks on your phone to remind you to do it once a day. Because we only have 7 days left or 8 days left, and then the voting's closed. So we need your support on this. Of course, becoming a member at majority.fm could make up for all of it. 33 cents a day. You get the, obviously, you support the first 40 minutes of the show, and then you get bonus material. What could be better than that? JustCoffee.coop, fair trade coffee, tea, or chocolate. Use the coupon code majority, get 10% off. If you buy your crap through Amazon, buy it through our Amazon link, front page majority.fm. Click it, bookmark it, always use it to buy your Amazon stuff. We get a kickback. Give us a review on iTunes. Give us a review of the app. Get the app, majorityapp.com. What more can I tell you? 646-257-3920 is the number. 646-257-3920. Is the number. You can IM me. We'll be back in just a moment.